What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Rankings Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Liss. You can find me on Twitter at An Outraged Jew. And of course, with me is Alexander McKenzie. You can find him on Twitter at Jacked Up on Mountain Dew. Now, we've officially seen the closure of the first week of the NFL season. Some significant losses. I have some dynasty rosters and unfortunately had the two players that suffered the most significant injuries of the week. But even beyond them, other injuries that were incurred this week were to dynasty owners that are panicking, overreacting, overassuming, not looking at the numbers, not making, you know, proper calculations of what may or may not be taking place. And I've seen it all over social media. I do peruse Twitter and I see like a lot of sell this guy, dump Garrett Wilson. I told you this guy was a bust, victory lap that. And it's like, guys, it's been 1 week of the NFL season, right? I mean, so I'm happy to be back. We've got a ton of data. You've got a ton of data. I've got a ton of data. We've got a number of players. Now, what I wanted to do, we're not going to talk about a lot of the guys that were great this week. There were some names of players that ascended that we could touch on quickly, like Jacoby Myers, a player that I think we had talked about a little bit this offseason who had a great game. Rashid Shaheed's a guy that we talked about that had a great game. There's been a number of guys that, you know, Puka Nacua and these other players that played really well in week one. And as much as I want to talk about them, what you guys really want to know about is, should you be scared about Devontae Adams? Should you be concerned about Antonio Gibson? There's these guys that you put a lot of draft stock into, or you traded capital for, or you're rostering currently, and you're in this position now where you don't know what to do. So we want to talk about some of the guys that underperformed this week and let you know whether you have a reason to panic and or overreact, or if you should really take a step back and just take a breather because there's better opportunity ahead. So Alexander, I stole the show there for a minute. You're prepared to deliver today. I know you've got EPA information. I know you're hot and heavy on these running backs, and I know you want to talk about that.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and again, yeah, a lot of stuff's happened. A lot of more tidbits. We've been talking about these players, you know, all offseason, all preseason. I'm very excited about certain ones. And again, like, yeah, it's one game, so we get to get a little insight and preview of like who they actually are. And then obviously the whole season kind of gives you an idea of who the player actually is versus like just an idea right now.
It's amazing to me, and we saw this last year, and I'm going to bring this up. It's amazing to me that we can spend the entirety of an entire offseason drafting, doing best ball, doing underdog, you know, prepping yourself, draft guides, buying this, doing that, logging into this account. And then one game takes place in the rain. Quarterback gets hurt. Player had a lack of preseason opportunity. One fucking game, and people are ready to sell and quit and take a shit on guys. And it's like we do this every year. And the best part, and this is why I love Keep Trade Cut, because Keep Trade Cut really does sort of establish the lunacy in the rate of speed. Again, I said this to Scott Connor because he had a tweet the other day, and I said to him, he was saying, pick between Zay Jones and Drake London. And it was fairly overwhelmingly Zay Flowers at the time. My bad. Zay Flowers and Drake London. It was overwhelmingly Zay Flowers. And then I came in and I was like, well, if next week Zay Flowers is 3 for 17 and Drake London is 8 for 125 and 2, this is going to go the other direction. And then, you know, and then over time I'm watching and it's evening out a little bit, but people seem to prefer Zay Flowers right now. But the point is, that's how quickly this can change when we're talking about players that are not established in the league. We know what Chase is. We know what Jefferson is. We know what Tyreek Hill is. I don't know what Zay Flowers is. Zay Flowers had a great first game. I don't know if Zay Flowers doesn't keep this up for his career. Drake London's been throttled by the offense that he's in, but we don't know if things change here in the future in a non-Mariota offense, you know, now that we've got Desmond Ridder. I don't know. I don't know that it's much better with Ridder, but the point is,
I'll just say the same guy.
there's a lot of overreaction right now after 1 week. So we're going to go over some of these players. We're going to start with some of the wide receivers, then jump in to some of these running backs. But one of them that I wanted to start with right now, and obviously this is a guy that, you know, you look on Keep Trade Cut, Currently, and I'll bring this up on the screen, currently on Keep Trade Cut, Garrett Wilson is still the wide receiver 3. I bet if I hit refresh, that's how fast this happens. Let's see if he's changed. I haven't hit refresh in a while. Nope, still number 3.
Still
okay.
Number 3.
So he's still number 3, but Aaron Rodgers, Achilles tendon tear, gone for the year and probably for his career. And I do appreciate the guy that replied to the Adam Schefter tweet about Rodgers tearing his ACL. And the guy said, hey, I'm 42. I tore my Achilles tendon and 7 months later I was playing basketball again. And he posted a clip of himself in his driveway, sprinting back and forth across his driveway. He said he was 40. He moved like he was 50, which leads me further to believe that Rodgers doesn't come back. And I don't know why he would, right? He went into this darkness retreat, and he was really like trying to decide whether he wanted to continue playing football. He emerged from his cave after 40 days or however many days it was, smelling like peyote. And he said, yes, I want to play football again. And then this happens, and it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't come back. I mean, really and truly, that's at age 40, that's difficult. But Garrett Wilson at 3, what are your thoughts on Garrett Wilson and the concerns surrounding him right now? And how far in Dynasty do you imagine he's going to slide? Because I do think he will slide.
I definitely think he will slide too. I could see that it's not great because Zach Wilson obviously is just not an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. And so we had done that whole video talking about how much he can affect his points per game and kind of elevate him into this sort of a elite tier player that where he is kind of right now. I think he's still an elite player by himself, but I think you are just going to see the same from last year where it's a lot of variability on his, what his ceiling is. You'll see games where, you know, he'll hit 30 fantasy points. You'll see games where he just hits, you know, 7 to 10 points. I think he still maintains a high target share in that offense. But again, Zach Wilson limits this offense unless the team kind of decides to go big and try to maybe trade for some sort of veteran quarterback before the mid-year point. But yeah, I think I could totally envision a scenario where he kind of still sits there at that top 10, and I think people kind of give him a discount based on the fact of, you know, with the Aaron Rodgers deal. But I think recency bias will come in, and people may forget how elite Garrett Wilson is. But again, he still is an uber-talented young receiver that still will flash in certain situations. But again, I think he will drop as some of these other younger players ascend with better quarterback play.
It's tough, and I understand why he's going to drop, because people are going to... He's not going to drop because his talent got any worse. That's the crazy part about playing Dynasty and fantasy football. He doesn't lose his ranking because he gets worse. He loses his ranking because, exactly like you said, we said that Aaron Rodgers was going to attribute at least 4 fantasy points per game different from other quarterbacks that he might play with. You and I did the standard deviation calculation for him, and we had him somewhere between 16.5 and 18 fantasy points per game. He ended up putting up, 14 the other night after not even really playing with Rodgers. So I think the inconsistencies that we're going to see is what's going to make him a buy in Dynasty, if you will. The nice part for the believers of Garrett Wilson is that his price is going to come down. Give him 2 weeks, give him 3 weeks. He's not going to play that well. I mean, he's actually in a really juicy spot if you're a rebuilder in the future here, right? Like if he continues to struggle a little bit, put up 12.5 points, put up 13 points, kind of fall into that Brandon Ayuk realm, he's going to become a buy, but the future is very uncertain. You know, we talk about the Jets said, hey, no, Zach Wilson's our guy. Well, bullshit. Zach Wilson was never your guy. That's why you brought in Aaron Rodgers, right? You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. So they could be on the horn looking for a trade. One of the names I heard brought up that I really like was Jameis Winston. That was like a name where I was like, man, that would be great. I thought Jacoby Brissett could be a name that might get a phone call. So I think there's some names that exist that could help his value more than you're going to see from a guy like Zach Wilson. But with that being said, yes, he's going to take a hit because you're going to lose fantasy points today. You're going to lose points in 2023. There's no doubt his ceiling dropped 35%. I mean, I'm pretty confident in saying that we lost 35% of his ceiling. But with that being said, you brought it up with his target share in week 1 was 27.8%. So still a decent target share amongst this offense. No real competition in this offense for him either. Nope. So overreacting on Garrett Wilson, maybe end up it could very well blow up in people's faces. The next name I want to bring up, and I was looking at guys that finished outside the top 24 in week one, and I believe this guy did, and that was DK Metcalf. And I'm going on fantasy points per game, by the way. So let's pull up DK Metcalf on here. We know Jackson Smith and Jigba was added to this team. Funny enough, I had put up a post before the season started, and I said, who do you prefer, Geno Smith or Derek Carr? And I remember like a fucking tidal wave just hitting me in the face of these people that were like, Geno. And then like occasionally there would be like the guy, he's like, Derek Carr, and he'd get like thrown out of the way, and there was like, Geno. And so I retweeted that because I'm like, okay, who do you prefer now? Because what we saw from Geno in week one versus a Rams defense that for whatever reason, they've always struggled versus the Rams. But I wanted to look at guys that scored outside of the top 24. And DK Metcalf happens to be that line right after Nico Collins, by the way, of all the players we were talking about that that surprised in week one. But DK Metcalf, 5 targets, 60 yards, a touchdown, 13.7 fantasy points per game. Are we concerned? Is he going to slide? Because right now, I believe on Keep Trade Cut, he's probably right inside the top. So wide receiver 14 on Keep Trade Cut currently.
I'm not worried about him. I think he's still, he's up there in receiving EPA. I just think this was kind of a odd game. I think I'm a little concerned about maybe with Geno, but again, I think Geno had such a good year last year. If it's more of a consistent thing where the offense kind of struggles, he got the look in the red zone where his issue last year was not getting enough receiving looks in the red zone. So he has gotten at least a touchdown, and maybe that's a indication of future usage. I'm not nearly worried unless we see more games stack on top of this where this offense kind of struggles, because I have a hard time believing that they should struggle. Did Tyler Lockett exited out with a concussion? But again, there's a lot of weapons on this offense with JSN and DK, and then Kenneth Walker, Charbonnet. So if this offense still continues to struggle, I think there'll be a little bit more of a worry. But I think this is a little bit of an overreaction. This is a 25-year-old wide receiver at 6'4" who runs a 4.3. I'm not worried.
I mean, there's few guys that look like Julio Jones that are left in this league, and DK Metcalf is very much that guy, and he's already proved himself year over year over year in a Pete Carroll offense that for many years prior to the Tyler Lockett era and just a little bit of Doug Baldwin ever would target a guy over 100 targets. That was not a thing in the Seattle offense for many, many years under this coaching staff. And then over the last couple of years, we've seen the 115 target, Tyler Lockett, the 120. Then DK made his way to 130, the 140 range. The future is DK and Jackson Smith. That is why Jackson Smith is here. Tyler Lockett, there was always a potential for injuries. He's been so good about just falling to the ground. But you look at DK here, 27 routes run on the day, which wasn't far off of some of the other guys in the league that people like. Chris Olave was only at 32. So it's not like he was way behind these players, but a lot of the guys at the top, some of the main guys for the week, Justin Jefferson, 47, Stephon Diggs, 46. So, 15, almost 20 behind guys like that is a tough thing to pallet, because if you're not running routes, you're not being targeted. So your offense needs to be on the field more often, obviously, for that to be the case. So better games ahead. This is week one. I don't want to overreact. And DK Metcalf, only 5 targets on the day and a touchdown, but I do want to say top 11 ADOT, 15.8. So he's still being used downfield. So let's not get crazy and shovel him outside the top 20, guys. Mm-hmm. Here's one for you. How about Davante Adams? So Davante Adams, a little bit of competition added. Waller leaves.
Yeah.
Add a guy named Jacoby Myers. Might have heard of him. Jacoby comes into town, absolutely wrecks house. And we look at, we look at Davante on the day not having quite the outing that I think people expected, while Jacoby ends the day as a top 3 fantasy scorer with 29.1 fantasy points per game. Jimmy Garoppolo and Davante Adams are better days ahead for these two.
I still think that, you know, the contract and his talent alone, I think this game, again, Denver was trying to shadow Surtain on him. He still has a top 12 receiving EPA. He's one of the best receivers in the league. I think he still maintains a very good target share. I think for Jacoby, he benefits from the fact that Adams will be having to go against, number one corners, and that leaves Jacoby to go against, you know, the number two or number three guys, whether or not they play inside or outside. But again, Adams has the ability to play inside as well. They were talking about it during the game that they were trying to move him inside to get him away from Surtain. He's still an elite receiver. I think there may be some concern about, you know, you had mentioned the depth of target for Jimmy G. So maybe that's an issue going forward. But again, I think that they are clever enough to still utilize Adams' skill set as a route runner. It may just not be as many deep targets.
It's not going to be as many deep targets. So as you can see on the week, and we can definitely get to this, on the week, Jimmy Garoppolo sorting by deep targets. Jimmy Garoppolo, 3 deep targets. Derek Carr, his old quarterback, 9 deep targets, number one on the week. Not a surprise why guys like Olave and Shaheed went off, but you kind of alluded to it, and this dichotomy right here really does illustrate it. So far this year, Jimmy G has an ADOT on average depth of target on normal throws of 7.8, which is really low, by the way. He attempted just 3 deep balls, but what people forgot about Davante Adams is last year he was the wide receiver 2 overall in deep targets with 33, and he was 3rd in the NFL in deep receiving yards at 593. That was 1 yard behind Justin Jefferson, just for context. That's how amazing it was. So more than a third of his receiving production came on the deep shots. Jimmy G averaged 2.5 deep shots per game last year. Never been a deep ball thrower. Last year, Derek Carr, 4.7. So bordering on twice as many deep shots per game. And look at it here, 3 times as many deep shots in week 1. So that to me is sort of the biggest factor that may go away from his profile. Now, he did have 9 targets on the day, so the target share is fine. The rapport will be there. Like you said, he had difficult coverage, which really hasn't been a problem for him in the past. But the deep shot to me is maybe the most concerning factor of this whole thing. He's certainly not dead in the water. And it's more than likely that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be hurt anyways. I know that I don't want to I'm certainly not wish casting, but if you were going to bet on a quarterback injury, you would put a lot of money on Jimmy Garoppolo to be the first guy to get hurt. So, and I actually think he checked out of the game. If I remember correctly, I think he did actually check out of the game at one point. But nonetheless, yeah, I wouldn't worry about Davante Adams too much. I think what we saw from Jacoby Myers was more of, sort of supporting how good he's already been and maybe some rapport that he might have initially with Jimmy G. But I'm not worried about Davante that much. I'll tell you who I am worried about, legitimately. I know everybody, some people look at this stuff and go, buy low. Some people look at this stuff and go, oh shit. I am personally, I shouldn't say completely, but I am moderately concerned about what I've seen for DJ Moore after 1 week with the Chicago Bears. Now, there is reason to still keep your chin up, little Tiger, but I also have some concerns after watching that week. So DJ Moore on the week, 2 targets. And this was while Justin Fields had 37 pass attempts on the week. 2 of those went to DJ Moore. And what's more maddening, if you guys are looking on the screen right now, and if you guys are watching, or if you're listening on Apple, if you're listening on Google, if you don't have Spotify, or you're not on YouTube, you guys won't be able to see this, but we've got a video going the whole time. While you're listening, make sure you hit like. If you're listening on a podcast platform, of course, rate and review this show. Help us boost it up in the ratings. We're trying to pass the fantasy footballers. So, okay. Yeah, we're going to need about 1 million more. So, DJ Moore was number 5 on the week in routes run at 46. But he was also, the wide receiver, 73 or 76 on total targets. So the two numbers don't align. So with that being said, he's on the field. He's just not being thrown to while on the field. But if I can color commentate this just a little bit, Justin Fields had the third most pressures as a quarterback on the week. 22 of his 49 dropbacks came while under pressure. The only two quarterbacks that were more pressured were Daniel Jones at one and Kenny Pickett at two. The problem was I was banking on the deep shot between these two guys. I wasn't banking on the volume as much as I was banking on the deep shot. Justin Fields on the day, let's pull it up, right here, two deep pass attempts on 37 total passing attempts. And again, DJ Moore was number five in total routes run. So where are you at on DJ Moore? He's on the field. The target share is not there. Are you concerned?
I am concerned. I think it's an offensive line issue and also maybe a schematic issue. I think they throw, and maybe the team is just more, coaches are more aware. He had a 5% target share while Darnell Mooney had almost a 20% target share. His air yard share as well was only 12%, while Darnell Mooney's was 51. There's concern with just how the offense looked, and then I think the offensive line play will dictate how this offense will go. If they don't give Fields enough time to throw deep shots, I don't think they're going to be able to target DJ Moore.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so again, if you guys are looking at the screen, Justin Fields was ranked 19th quarterback overall when sorting by who the pressures were attributed to. His offensive line, 86.4% of 100% of the pressures were attributed to the offensive line. Justin Fields himself was the QB 15, 13.6% of his pressures were attributed to him. So you're definitely right. The offensive line is an immense issue here. Few guys had less than that. I mean, Jordan Love, Anthony Richardson, Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, some of these guys actually had lower offensive line concerns than him. But yeah, I mean, the line is clearly an issue and was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was last year. We thought that they addressed it. I know some of the starters were out, but again, you would hope that with a full offseason, being aware of what your weakness is, I think that's just something that's just not going away. And if DJ Moore is that's the way they're going to use him, whether it's just a bubble screen or throwing him deep, they're not going to have time to throw it deep to him. I think that Justin Fields is just going to go run, and that's going to take away targets from DJ Moore. And that could be a long-term problem until they fix this offensive line, or, you know, if this thing doesn't work with Justin Fields.
Okay, so Justin Fields currently on Keep Trey Cut. I'll pull this back up. I had it up at one point. DJ Moore, wide receiver 25. Like, does DJ Moore he just keeps falling now? Like, now he's next to Debo Samuel. That's how far he's fallen. So at this point in time, okay, let me ask you this. George Pickens or DJ Moore? They are side by side right now. Who do you prefer? Now, I know Deontay is injured. Between those two guys, are you ready to sell DJ Moore for George Pickens if you could get it? And if you're a Pickens owner, are you selling for DJ Moore?
I think it's so close. You got it, but the offensive line did not look good for really either team. I feel like that 49ers team basically demolished, you know, the Steelers offense as well. And Kenny Pickett didn't look as strong either. I think it's a push. I think they're properly rated right now, to be honest.
And look, again, we just talked about this. DJ Moore was number five on the week in routes run, but if you slide up just a bit, George Pickens, number 48, seven targets. So it wasn't today necessarily that he blew up with 36 yards, but remember, Pittsburgh had a massive amount of deep ball shots last year, a lot. They were way up there at the top of the league. So to see him with that many routes, and I mean, this is kind of reversing sort of the air yardage theory, right? Like, targets attribute to air yards. And you know, you can either have a lot of targets, obviously a lot or a little, you know, air yardage behind it, or you can have a short amount of targets with a lot of distance, but you have to be on the field running routes to earn those targets. So seeing George Pickens out there, 48, I think that's a good sign. It probably is a push. I mean, if we're assuming between the two, the ascension of George Pickens could certainly pass the deficiencies of what we're seeing for DJ Moore. But of course, there's a lot of people out there saying, DJ Moore's still a buy low. Are you going to say DJ Moore is a buy low in week three when he's 7 targets, 5 catches for 68? I mean, what are you waiting for? That one game when he gets 9 targets for 135 and maybe he scores? If you're in head-to-head leagues, how the fuck are you starting DJ Moore?
I don't know how you're starting DJ Moore. I would have to wait and see until you see some sort of improvement. I know I think Tevin Jenkins was out, one of their guards, but I still think the offensive line, it's inexcusable with the draft capital they put into the team and then the other the other investments in free agency they made. I would have expected a little bit more of a performance that would have given us, maybe they don't win the game, but maybe it gives us a little bit more a brighter look at this offense. For right now, it just does not look great. It looks like it's the same offense from last year, but now DJ Moore's on it.
It's not good. I agree. It's not good. All right, let's jump to another name. How about Treylon Burks? So Treylon Burks is a guy that there was a lot of buzz about, a lot of hype. Again, I'm sorted by routes run right here. He was number 21 in routes run on the week at 37, but he only saw 3 total targets. Again, looking at some of the guys next to him, Devonta Smith, the exact same amount of routes run, saw 10 targets. Amon-Ra St. Brown, less routes run, 8 targets. DeAndre Hopkins, teammate, less routes run, 12 targets. 4 times as many targets to DeAndre Hopkins. I know Ryan Tannehill stunk. Are you concerned at all about Treylon Burks? And if so, I mean, it's been a lot of almost what we saw with Rashad Bateman over the years. There's a lot of sort of faith in the masses behind him, what we saw coming out of college, his athleticism, what the potential could be, low volume passing offense. And despite all these indicators, we continue in the face of adversity. People are still saying, no, double down, triple down, quadruple down. And it's like, I like Treylon Burks. I think he's young enough. I think the potential's there. But they brought in an aged DeAndre Hopkins, and he's murdering on target share. And we talked about this in the offseason. Are you going to have to wait for a quarterback change or a significant injury to DeAndre Hopkins for him to get his chance? And if that is the case, was he ever really the target earner that people thought he could be?
I think coming out, we all love the size speed that Treylon Burks was, right? And you alluded to it already. Hopkins signing just does not give confidence that the team feels that this guy is their target leader, and it's evident in the first game. I mean, Hopkins had almost a 40% target share, while Treylon Burks almost had 10. Air yards as well, he had 8%, while Hopkins had 44. And How old is Hopkins? Hopkins, 31?
They're almost 32, I think.
32. 32-year-old wide receiver going up against, one of the size speed freak rookies that came out
31. Apologize.
31, right. I think part of it is the concern that, he hasn't really hit, and we've talked about this maybe, and this is maybe we talk about in a future show and research. When do we start to say, okay, this is who they actually are versus like, when will they break out? Or is there a point of no return? And I feel like right now, and I don't have the data to support it, but it feels like the more games that stack on top of it, Treylon Burks is sort of hitting that point of no return. He has the talent. I don't know if it's more of route running or I don't know what it is, but the data suggests that he should just continue to drop. And I think, again, we may not see anything. Maybe it's just this low volume passing with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, who looked atrocious on Sunday. So I think really we got to see a change of regime. If it's Malik Willis, I still think it's more of a rushing offense anyway, even if they move to him. I think we have to wait to see if like Will Levis comes in. I think there are probably better days ahead a little bit for him to see some better game script. The Saints defense is really good, but the target share, the air yard share is not encouraging after week one. But again, this is maybe someone, that the hype is on them, but maybe they aren't who everyone thinks they are.
I mean, he wasn't even the number two on his own team. Nick Westbrook was, right? So, and I mean, yeah. and he had less than half the targets that Westbrook did. And what's really interesting, and I was sorting this again, if you're looking on the screen, Tennessee was number six in the NFL in targets to wide receivers. The rate of targets to wide receivers is 72%. So, I mean, they were up there. And that's more than I think we've seen from them in the past. Like, the tight end rate was 6.1%, so that was way down. So it's not encouraging to see. And the problem with the analysis on social media sometimes is analysts think they know better than coaches, and they might. But it's like working for your boss. Unless you want to tell your boss to fuck off and you want to quit, when your boss tells you to do something, at the end of the day, that's the guy taking the risk, and you just do what he says. So the coach is going, Vrabel's like, this is who we're targeting. This is my offense. And clearly, if Tannehill is making decisions on who to throw to, and he's third in the pecking order, and I don't even know how many targets Derrick Henry had. I think Derrick Henry had more targets, didn't he? I'd have to look at how many targets Derrick Henry had on the day. But nonetheless, like, when you're that far down in the pecking order, it's problematic to say the least. And he's currently the wide receiver 33 on keep, trade, cut, which obviously is another continuous fall for him. I was just looking at, well, Tyjae Spears had more targets. I know that much. Derrick Henry had the same amount of targets as Treylon Burks. So take it for what it's worth. That was the other thing I wanted to bring up. This team, Tennessee, I think their running back target rate was actually much higher than usual. Where are they at here? 21.2% running back target rate. So again, we talked about this the other day. If you're north of 20%, if you're in the 21% range, that's decent. God, so less targets than Tyjae Spears. Less targets than Derrick Henry, Nick Westbrook, DeAndre Hopkins. Do the math. I get it. Everybody's going to say he's a buy low. But you brought up exactly some research that we're going to do. We're going to tell you guys at some point here soon what the definitive line in the sand is. When the potential begins to decrease. Like what line, how many years, how many games, how many yards is it when getting and going back the other way and becoming a superstar is gone? Becoming a good player, maybe gone, like turning into a Ted Ginn. Maybe that's your trajectory, like at that point. And I think that's what we want to figure out, because for too long, people have spent 3 years, Rashad Bateman. It's going to be 3 years eventually, Treylon Burks, like saying, this guy is going to fire. Just trust me. Just trust me. Then when they don't, that guy that was telling you, just trust me, is like, ah, screw it. Don't worry about it. Here's the next guy. Buy this guy. You know, buy low on this guy now. And it's like, fuck, it's cyclical. We got to get out of this game. So that's something that I'm really excited to work on. I know we've talked about it quite a bit. We could rapid fire a couple of these last names. Christian Kirk's an interesting name, because Christian Kirk necessarily leads us to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley went absolutely ham. Now, I thought when I was watching Calvin Ridley in the offseason and he was doing the ladder drills, I was like, oh, great, he's just doing ladder drills. And I was like a lot of other people that were like, look, we haven't seen him in 2 years playing a full season, or maybe even three. The last time we saw him, he saw immense volume. Is that going to happen again? Well, 11 targets, 8 receptions, 101 yards, a touchdown, 24 fantasy points on the day. Looked pretty good. Christian Kirk, on the other hand, the recipient of a much less impressive day. I think did he have just one catch for 9 yards? Is that correct?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, one catch, 9 yards, 3 targets. I would play the sad noise sounder, but I don't have it set up yet. So,
Yeah, not great. And I think we some people alluded to this in the preseason stuff, where they're running a lot of two wide receiver sets, and it was Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley out there. That was the concern, with him exclusively being put in the slot. But yeah, the target share, at least from week one, does not look great. And going forward, it still feels like the way Ridley looked and played, seems like he looks pretty dominant and the alpha in that offense. Air yards, 9% air yard share, 9% target share
for Kirk.
Yeah, it doesn't look too great, at least from this one. And this was a game where it was going back and forth, sort of a shootout scenario. So, very concerning for someone that we really liked going into 2023.
I mean, this is one of those things. This is going to be like people's Treylon Burks argument, where The people that didn't like Christian Kirk are going to go, well, look, out targeted. It's over for him. Clearly, Ridley's the guy and Christian Kirk's dead. And that might be true. Christian Kirk may be in trouble based on the information that we have in front of us. But they're also going to be the same people to go, no, Treylon Burks got a shot. I know that he was four times targeted by DeAndre Hopkins and three other guys in the offense had more targets than him or the same amount. But I assure you he's coming. And it's like, we got to quit playing this mind game. Obviously, Calvin Ridley is the guy. Being tethered to Trevor Lawrence, never a bad thing. T-Law targeting him. I mean, we saw 11 in the first game. God, who even knows? I mean, it could be 12, 13. He could be on a Davante Adams-esque sort of trajectory in terms of target opportunity and production as this thing trends forward, not to get like super hypey on this thing, but it's impressive. And again, I didn't know what was going to happen, especially what we saw from Kirk, but impressive outing for him. Okay, Marquise Brown, no quarterback to support him. Marquise Brown was a guy that a lot of people were higher on going into the year, but obviously without Kyler Murray and the situation in that offense, he's just falling downward. So he's the wide receiver 40 currently on Keep Trey Cut, right next to Christian Kirk, right next to Elijah Moore, Mike Williams. What are you doing with Marquise Brown?
I think Marquise Brown is somebody that you maybe potentially want to buy because he played extremely well with Kyler Murray. I know there's been talks about Kyler. I know either traded or they're trying to go for Caleb Williams, you know, whatever. There's talks that Kyler comes back and then Marquise could have a better second half of the season with Kyler where he was a monster. But I think this is more indicative of the fact that they just don't have anybody at quarterback. This is what you're going to have to deal with until Kyler comes back. To me, it feels like it's one of those situations. You buy a guy like this again, maybe wait till he goes a little bit lower. Cause he will still continue to slide players like, where's he at now? Sorry.
So yeah, I was just looking at, so he's a wide receiver 40 on Keep Trade Cut. And I wanted to sort in the rookie pick. Mm-hmm. So, wide receiver 40. Let's go back down there and see. Da-da-da. So he's the equivalent of a 2024 early second right now.
Yeah. And he's what, 26?
He is 26 and 100 days.
26 and 100 days. So yeah, I still think he's a buy low for me. I think if he gets tied to Kyler and he does pretty well, I can see a scenario where they potentially give him an extension or his skill set gets to go to somewhere else. He's not going to, he's an efficient receiver. He had his ups and downs with the Lamar Jackson offense. But I think better days are ahead. I don't think this is indicative of his play. I think this is more indicative of the quarterback play.
How much are you going to love him if they extend him and his quarterback is Caleb Williams?
I mean,
how much are you going to love him if he's now playing second fiddle to Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I still kind of like him.
We're going to play this game where being the number two in the offense is a good thing still. It's fine. Listen.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I think maybe number two, yeah, you're not paying the premium that he's worth, but I think that's the risk that you kind of play with here is like anything can happen with these draft picks. These teams could try to win for some reason, you know. It's pretty evident that maybe the Cardinals are trying to lose, but who knows? Kyler comes in, they all of a sudden start trying to win, and they already have that early round two early round draft picks potentially, and they just try to build around Kyler again.
I mean, I would imagine that he can go anywhere he wants to go. The league has shown us year over year over year that fast wide receivers that can deliver, and Marquise Brown is 100% that guy. Mm-hmm. Those guys are sought after assets in the league. They continue to be drafted. So it wouldn't shock me at all if one of these teams that's been, look at what Tyreek Hill just did. I'm not saying they're the same guy, but like somebody that can take the top off of a defense and can really produce with opportunity. That's Marquise Brown, 100%. So again, I think the 2024 second, I think it was early. Is that what we saw?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know necessarily who ends up there. We don't know how good they're going to be. Look at this wide receiver class. Look at historical ones. Not always great. I mean, again, it's like saying if we went back a year, that'd be like Marquise Brown or Marvin Mims. Yeah. I mean, I might still prefer Marquise Brown in that case, potentially. I like Mims, but look, nobody's on the field right now. We're kind of witnessing what's playing out. So, okay, I want to rotate to some running backs real quick. We'll kind of fire through a couple of these players here just to cut through it. How about Derrick Henry? First week of the year, I think Derrick Henry kind of got off to a slower start than people thought. And the other big news was how many snaps Tyjae Spears was seeing in that offense. What was your take on Derrick Henry after week one?
I was a little concerning with the 48% snap share. He had a negative rushing EPA, but I think the Saints just knew they were going to run through it. I think this is on a little bit, this is more on the quarterback. Like he couldn't pass. He was just not looking very, very good as a passer, Ryan Tannehill, and still averaged 4.2 yards per carry. Had some use in the receiving game, which was somewhat encouraging. But I think it's a little concerning that it's a 48% snap share and Tyjae Spears is getting some work in there. But again, it could be just because they went in panic mode and they were just trying to play catch up here. And maybe Derrick Henry's just one of these. If they have a lead, they just run with him instead of a guy that they just pound the rock to.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Derrick Henry's obviously not the youngest guy there is, but where do we have Derrick Henry on here? Derrick Henry's 16. Let's see here. So rush attempts. Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise. Derrick Henry has been one of these guys in Dynasty where he's kind of lingered for a while, and I would be interested to see like what happens to him over the next handful of weeks if he does underperform or he does lose opportunity. Derrick Henry currently the RB17 on Keep Trade Cut, and Derrick Henry is how many years old? Let's look at this real quick. 29.7 years old, which on any planet, anywhere in the universe, is an old running back. I'm not, well, you know what? Maybe if the days are shorter on another planet and maybe gravity isn't weighing as heavy on the body potentially. Maybe there's a Derrick Henry on another planet that's going to play to like 850 years old, but I don't think that's going to happen on this planet. So like you said, the efficiency game script, I mean, it's so his game script has always been so dependent. Derrick Henry can have a bad game and then he can rip off a 200 yard game tomorrow. Right. So
right. We
know that that's 100% in his profile, but I think it does, you know, speak volumes to a guy like Tyjae Spears who saw some opportunity, was on the field right here. 3 for 27, looked bursty. We knew he was bursty coming out of college, despite the fact that apparently he has no ACLs, I think was the story. didn't know that was a thing, but I guess it is a thing.
I guess.
Yeah, apparently so. Okay, rolling through this. How about Khalil Herbert? Because Khalil Herbert, now we did some analysis in the preseason, Roschon Johnson. I know Cody Carpentier was big time Roschon Johnson fan, but there was so many reasons to love a guy like Roschon. If you liked a guy like Josh Jacobs, if you liked the brutality that a guy like Alvin Kamara brought to the game, then there was something special about what Roschon Johnson brought. And people cited Roschon Johnson's lack of receiving. Well, he played with Bijan Robinson, but one big factor was when you looked at his targets per route run in college, it was higher than Bijan. He was actually being targeted while on the field. So some of those things you have to take with a grain of salt, but it revealed itself this past week, and Roschon looks like he's running away with the job as expected, Khalil Herbert truthers. What are your thoughts on Khalil Herbert and the Roschon Johnson situation?
I'm very concerned. If you're a Khalil Herbert owner, you should be very concerned about Roschon Johnson. I thought that a big fan of Roschon coming into the season, as some of the metrics that we had already talked about, you know, his yards created after contact, again, his yards win his targets per route run. But again, Khalil Herbert had a 36% snap share, negative rushing EPA. Roschon had a positive rushing EPA, and the most important thing, Roschon Johnson was heavily used in the passing game. 7 targets, not a lot of receiving yards, 35, but 7 targets in his first game, and it's negative game script, but your team's is down, right? Like you're just going to wave the white flag and not put in your starter to try to score a red zone touchdown. Roschon Johnson was in there in the red zone being used. And he showed speed. He showed size. He showed receiving ability. I think for Khalil Herbert owners, they should be very concerned about this. And it also Deontay Foreman got some looks in there as well. Where, I mean, everyone was referencing Herbert was getting, you know, 100% of the, you know, the starter snaps during preseason. Now it's an actual game and he's got 36% snap share.
Yeah, I remember that preseason game. We were in Canton and Khalil Herbert did some wheel route for 50 yards and a touchdown or whatever it was. And everybody retweeted themselves and everybody was clapping. By the way, I found a sounder. Came with the program. Anyways, point is, everybody was willing to sort of applaud themselves at the time. But here we are right here. End of week one. This is kind of crazy. Only Roshan and Ezekiel Elliott had seven targets on the week. So tied for first in his first game on a putrid offense with a bad offensive line that obviously had to get the ball out quick. That's probably, again, a big factor. And I don't see that not being a factor in the future either, by the way, because this is clearly an offense that's got problems. 16 total targets at the position, which, again, tied with New England. So the Bears had tied for first in running back target rate. 44.4% of their total targets went to the running back position. Man. Amazing.
That's incredible.
13 wide receiver targets. That's better than the five that Atlanta had, by the way. People are like, why aren't we talking about Drake London? Okay. Obviously, there's concerns with Drake London. All right. Antonio Gibson, speaking of concerns, what the fuck happened with Antonio Gibson? I thought he was supposed to be the prince that was promised.
He fumbled in this game, yep. And it's been a consistent problem, especially the year that he was given a full workload and there was a ton of hype going with him. In a vacuum, talent-wise, Antonio Gibson has the talent to be, you know, a top five at the position. It just seems like he's not, you know, switching between receiver and running back during his time in college. It doesn't seem like he's like the best pure rusher, and it's pretty evident by the team on how they use him. I think the fumble, basically they're like, we're not even dealing with this. We know that what you in history, historically, that you have with fumbles, whether it's rushing or on punt returns and stuff like that. 19 carries for Brian Robinson does not spell really well for the future of Antonio Gibson in Washington, with only 3 rushes for 9 yards. It's a big yikes here. I'm not sure what to do with him going forward. I think your best hope is that, you know, another team maybe sees his ability and he goes to another team. But again, he's hitting up there in age. We've got enough data to know kind of what Antonio Gibson is. And I think what Washington sees in him, other teams will see in him and they'll use him the same way because they know who he is as a player.
Pretty sad. His college production was not vast, by the way. Like he was ushered into the upper echelon of running back potential because of the athleticism, because he was fast, because he was bursty, and he had these things. But sometimes those don't align. Sometimes they don't manifest themselves, and he's been doghoused, and he's underwhelmed, and he's been drafted around. And as I showed you here, Chris Rodriguez, same amount of carries in the game. Obviously, you alluded to the fumble, which is noted right here. Got a fumble grade. I don't know. Why do you grade a fumble? How are they grading fumbles? Like, oh, that was an egregious fumble. These guys didn't get 100%. They didn't fumble.
We got to talk to PFF, see what they say.
Feels like it should be 100 or 0. Really could be just binary. Did he fumble? Yes. That's not good. I think that there's some cause for concern. You know, also the Chris Rodriguez kind of hype coming into the year, sort of his profile coming out of college was impressive as well. So not the athlete, but yes, you're right. You would hope Antonio Gibson goes somewhere. Again, you hope the Baltimore Ravens are on the phone right now after the J.K. Dobbins injury, and they're like, look, send us Antonio Gibson, because Dobbins was seeing some targets too in that game. Kind of, they were doing what we hadn't seen in the past from that offense. I can pull it up right here. I think Baltimore. Yeah, there you go. Baltimore. Hold on. They're on the low end there. But anyways, Baltimore, I think they were at 14.3%, but I think a lot of them were to Dobbins. But the point is the opportunity could be there for a guy like Antonio Gibson to a team like that. So yes, that does exist that he could go somewhere, but while he's in Washington, not good. It's not good at all.
It's not good. I think, again, like that I didn't even think about that, man. Him on the Ravens, if he just doesn't fumble the ball. I think teams really do prioritize that, because I mean it's a turnover, right? You lose that entire possession. It could be that they think negatively of because of those turnovers. He could just be blackballed by all these teams.
I mean, Antonio Gibson could also just be an absolute bonehead on the field too. I mean, it's possible that he's just not. They gave him a shot. It didn't work. They drafted a guy around him. Everybody said Brian Robinson has no pop. Well, Brian Robinson is running circles around him now. So even an opportunity, even when Brian Robinson's not doing shit from an efficiency standpoint, he's still not giving any of that workload back to Antonio Gibson. And that is the problem.
Yeah, that's the concern, because Brian Robinson, you know, he's a big back, but again, he's not super efficient. But the whole sell on Antonio Gibson with Brian Robinson was the use of the receiving game. And now that he's not even seen having a high enough snap share to see that, that's a concern. And Brian Robinson caught a receiving touchdown preseason. One of those games, he had four receptions, which is more than anything that he had the year before. So
looking at Philadelphia and talking about DeAndre Swift, Rashad Penny, inactive because they said got too many running backs. Can't put him on the field. Got too many backs. I thought he was one of the best pure runners in the league. He is a good runner. Clearly, the contracts are being ignored. There's a lot of guys that were like, he's going to be an RB1 this year, this, and this. The contracts are really, really important. DeAndre Swift, on the other hand, I remember seeing some guys were doing some ballsy trades. They were sending they were trading T. Higgins for like DeAndre Swift, or they were trading like some of these trades where they're like, I know Swift is an RB1. And it's like, okay, well, he's clearly not. And he barely played in this game. His opportunities, Kenneth Gainwell was the guy in this game. What is the level of concern with DeAndre Swift right now?
It's panic, honestly. I don't understand. I would love to have an insight. Why is it way he interacts with, because it's definitely not his overall skill. You know, we never saw like huge issues with inefficiency. It was mostly due to injury and him availability, but the sheer fact that he had a 29% snap share, maybe they know his talent and they don't want to use him until they actually have to. It could be one of those situations. So maybe the latter half of this season, we see a lot of DeAndre Swift, but I've never had an issue with his talent. I've had an issue with his availability, but I don't know what is going on with DeAndre Swift, and it could be that the Eagles are just trying to play this game where they know he's the talent, he's the most talented running back in the entire in that room, but they're just waiting to use him till the playoffs.
You know what's really crazy? Like dating back to Daryl Bevel, every coach that he's played for is pretty much like given him some level of limited opportunity, right? I mean, even down to the draft year, I don't. Again, we're sorted to 2020 right now. I think this is cycling. Let me see something real quick. I think there was a delay on the cycling. But, yeah, all the way back to the very first coaching staff, like, he just constantly gets passed over. Even last year when he had over 70 targets on the year, 62 reception season, 48. Like, I don't know. He's Chase Edmonds with a little more opportunity is really what it's turned into. And he's bouncing around. Now, it doesn't mean that some opportunity won't reveal itself in the future, but the fact that they didn't even play Penny and then Boston Scott was ahead of him, all of these things are cause for concern. And I don't even know at this point. He's being valued as the, where is he at? What, the running back?
You just had him. He's right in there. Did he's I? Right up there.
Oh, right
with,
there. 38. Yeah. I mean, at this point, if I asked you straight up, Tyjae Spears or DeAndre Swift, who do you prefer?
I mean, maybe Tyjae Spears. He's looked explosive, and Henry's 29 years old. Maybe I think I may have to go Spears. I don't know what is wrong with Swift to other teams. I think he was even used limitedly at his time in Georgia too, and that's just kind of tied over here. And maybe he's just not one of those guys that's going to carry the rock that many times. And maybe Philly's aware of that, and they're just waiting till the end of the season to use him. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. But in terms of talent, he's the most talented guy in that entire list that you got right up there, even his teammate up there, Gainwell at the top. I don't understand it. I would be pushing panic mode, especially after this first game. Maybe we see an increase in snaps. I know Gainwell's got a rib injury. Gainwell may be a 200-pound back, so I don't see him having the full workload the entire season. Injuries will come up, and maybe we'll see a little bit more of Swift, maybe Penny. I don't understand why the Eagles don't like Swift, especially the sheer fact that they traded for him.
I think it's not impossible to rule out that Tyjae sees a greater opportunity than Swift mm-hmm. this year. But with that being said, it's really hard to move off Swift. I think this is where the overreaction or being too reactionary comes into play. I would like to see another week or two of Swift. If by week three, this is still the case with Swift, then it's like panic mode. Here's the problem, though. If you play in dynasty leagues, people that like Swift that don't have him are like, well, fuck, I'll wait till week three. If he still doesn't play, then I'm not going to buy him. And you, the owner of Swift, are like, well, I'll hold him till week three because I don't know if he's going to be the DeAndre Swift I've always hoped for. By the way, what are we, 3 years in? 4 years in now? We're four years in waiting for DeAndre Swift to become the DeAndre Swift that we think he could become, even though he hasn't become it one fucking time in his career. But boy, we're waiting. And so people that are going to hear this are going to be like, no way, Tyjae Spears over DeAndre Swift, but he could be the DeAndre Swift that's on another planet right now. And he's just not in the fucking NFL becoming that guy yet. So I love Swift, and he's so hard to quit. I get it, especially now at the price tag of the RB40. I get it. If you guys traded a mid-second, a late-second for him, and you're holding, and you're like, I just want to see. I understand if you want to hold. I think that Swift has opportunity even beyond this offense. Like, I think he's a great pass catcher. That role is necessary in the league. So I don't think he's going to go away. My concern, though, as we talked about with the receivers, is that maybe he becomes more Chase Edmonds than sort of a future runner that we had hoped for. Maybe he's never a 150 carry, 80 target guy. Maybe he's a 65 carry, 75 target, 65 target guy, which is great for flex options and has value, but maybe he's just never the player that we wanted him to be. And that's a realistic potential outcome, despite the fact that, again, people are so goddamn delusional about this stuff that in year four, they're still just in disbelief that this could be possible. All right. Rapid fire through a few, but I know this is one that you want to talk about. Cam Akers, Kyren Williams, the Rams, they beat the Seahawks. And Kyren Williams got a lot of opportunity.
65% snap share for Kyren Williams.
A lot of carries for Cam Akers, though, by the way.
A lot of carries, but he was extremely inefficient with it. It could be just the situation in which, Akers was getting the carries versus Kyren. But Kyren was getting the red zone usage, and he ran more routes. I'm concerned about Cam Akers. I know there has been talk about how the team has liked Kyren. I liked Kyren before he went to the combine and was a sub athlete. And so this is what we were kind of talking about pre-show is like examples of these kind of players. But if he's going to get the opportunity, this is a starting running back on a Sean McVay offense, that got a lot of red zone. He had two touchdowns, but guys, you need to remember, if you go back and watch, he got dropped on the 1 yard line. I think maybe Akers or they tried to do something else, but if he would have ran in, he got stopped at the one, that would have been three touchdowns. Imagine the explosion that people would be going crazy over Kyren. I'm very concerned about Cam Akers. Again, 22 carries, but he's extremely, extremely inefficient. I think it's like Swift. It's this class, man. The 2020 class, that 2020 running back class is starting to look pretty, pretty rough. I'm very concerned. I think Kyren has all the high opportunity. Again, shout out Scott Barrett. He tweeted out his top weighted opportunity. Kyren Williams, and his weighted opportunity was number 7 in weighted opportunities. So that's weighted opportunities, just all the valuable touches to score fantasy points. Yeah, very concerned about Cam Akers. I think we had a lot of hype. I think, again, it's like one of those things where you're confused about what's going on. You know, the team spent a second-round pick in Akers. They gave him a lot of usage the latter half of last year. Again, it may be just one of those things where is it the conversations in the offense, or if it's really that's what they see in practice, this 1.3 yards per attempt, and that's really who Cam Akers is. But he didn't get a lot of use in the receiving game either. And if Kyren's going to get that use, I think that's might be who the lead back is on this offense.
Kyren got some use as a receiver. I mean, he had two targets on the day. Cam Akers had none. Sure. But I guess if they think Cam Akers stinks, I don't know why they gave him seven more rush attempts than Kyren. But I get the goal line opportunities. I get the targets. That's where all the leverage is in fantasy points, right? Like, we mm-hmm. want rush attempts. We, you know, carries between the 20s are great. Carries in the red zone, obviously a lot better. Cam Akers, though, just struggled again. And we've seen this kind of up and down throughout his career. Again, if McVay believes that he can get more out of Kyren than he can out of Cam, I am slightly in disbelief of that. I just don't think that he's the athlete. I think that we're going to see Kyren probably underperform. Again, this is 1 week. I don't know how good the Seattle defense actually is. Obviously, against the run, it was decent. I mean, they gave up some touchdowns because Stafford was unbelievable as a passer. Like, the guy was incredible. Yeah. Renaissance performance, which is crazy. I thought the secondary was supposed to be much better. But so they did reasonably well against the run. But again, what is Cam Akers? Again, he's got 2 years on his deal. I think Kyren's got 2 years because I think he was drafted the year after. So there's some similarity in the length of time that these two players have. Wouldn't surprise me if Cam Akers keeps trending this direction if in 2024, neither of these are the guys in this backfield could completely move on. So, okay, we did a video about this. Rashad White, the good and the bad. Lay it out.
All right, well, so the good, 79% snap share. He had 17 carries. I don't know. I can't remember his use in the passing game. I don't think he got crazy
targets,
use. That we,
two catches.
Two targets, yeah. So it wasn't anything special. But the use and the snap share, I think that's the positive is a snap share, almost an 80% snap share. For reference, Josh Jacobs had 80% snap share. Both same situation, really inefficient with the, you know, the carries that they got. But I mean, in comparison to Sean Tucker, at least for right now, I mean, yeah, the 2.3 yards per attempt is not great. But the usage was there. I think maybe it's one of those situations. Again, that was one of the concerns was, what does this offense look like with Baker Mayfield? It's not Tom Brady, obviously. So how efficient is this offense going to be and how likely are they going to be in the red zone? And how good is the passing game going to be to the point where is there going to be enough room to put Rashad White in the passing game, or if it's just going to be Mike Williams and Chris Godwin helping Baker Mayfield move down the field? I think it's positive that the team is giving him the usage, and I think we need more data to kind of see, but it's not like these other guys where the team is already showing you that they're not giving them enough touches. I think an 80% snap share, almost an 80% snap share, is fantastic.
Yeah.
But again, who knows how efficient this offense is, or if it's just that Rashad White is just not as efficient as we want, but the use is there. I think more data will show us. I think guys like Akers, Swift, the concerns with them, we have years of information of what we know about these guys versus like Rashad White. We had 1 year where he's splitting with Leonard Fournette. Now he's got the whole thing to himself. Team's already given him almost an 80% snap share. Let's see what we get from him by halfway, and then we can kind of make more of an assessment of what he actually is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. Obviously, we put a lot of stock into him. And one thing about our advocation for a guy like Rashad White is the opportunity was there. The team did absolutely nothing in the offseason to add competition. I like Sean Tucker. I got an immense amount of Sean Tucker comments in the YouTube comments about how he was going to steal the job. This guy was so much better. And it's like, I think you guys forget how hard it actually is. Like the Isaiah Pacheco thing, the running back that comes out of nowhere and steals the incumbent's job, not that easy to do. And Rashad White is incredibly athletic, has an incredible pass-catching upside. So I need to see more. It's 1 week. And again, this is why I'm saying, like, with Cam Akers, is it real? Is it not? Let's wait another week with, who was it? DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. Same story. Probably wait a little bit. But yeah, Baker Mayfield in week one, 4 targets to the running back position, 12.5%, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the 6th lowest in the league in week one. 32 total passing targets. That was about middle of the league. Wait. 32, bottom middle of the league. And then, yeah, wide receiver targets, which was a majority of their work in that game, but they only had 22 pass attempts to the wide receiver, 68.8%. So they have the weapons on the outside to open up this run game. Obviously, you had injuries to the offensive line. That's a factor. But I think that there's more to be seen. I would like to wait another couple weeks, obviously, before I'm ready to jump ship on a guy like Rashad White. He has too much upside to bail on for cheap. And if we look him up right now and keep trade cut, he is, let's see, where's Rashad White? Wow. RB25 between Miles Sanders and Brian Robinson. I mean, that's about where I'd expect to see him right now. He hasn't done anything to blow people's minds, but as we talked about, if he goes on a pretty big stretch here, he could climb many of these older names above him. So I want to wait. I want to see 2 weeks more before I'm ready to, like, ring the alarm on this thing. But again, yeah, obviously there's some cause for concern here, and it's not a great thing. Alexander, this episode's gone on quite a bit. So I think we're going to cut it here. We have other guys to talk about next week. We're looking into some data, which we're really, really excited about, which, again, is going to help, like, define where sort of the line is for wide receivers, because we play these games, and Rashad Bateman's a great example of, like, injuries are a net negative. Again, not being on a field, not making progress is not a benefit. It doesn't, that never works out positively. Then looking in context of production since being in the league, opportunity, all these things, and helping determine, like, where's the line in the sand when you should bail on players. I think that's really important information to get to the bottom of. Guys, link in the description. Join the Discord channel. It's a great group of people, great community. Play game on Friday. XP game. These guys are always talking trades. It's a really smart group. I try to challenge them every Friday, and people blow my mind. Obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, leave us a comment. Rate the show. Help us boost that. Again, we got to pass the footballers. We need, like, what, like 75,000 comments? So go ahead and do that.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. And then obviously, if you're on YouTube right now, do us a favor, hit the like button, comment below, hit the subscribe button if you guys feel like you've taken some value from the show. If you enjoyed it, you want to find us again. If you don't hit subscribe, you may never find us on the internet again. You know how that works. And yeah, Alexander coming in with the EPA data today, really did his homework on the running backs. So we're going to have a lot more nuanced data for you guys as our stuff rolls out. We teased it before. We didn't see it today. Supposedly, the trade calculator that we've been designing is in a beta mode. So we're going to get a chance to tinker with it, hopefully here in the near future. You guys will get a chance to use it. That will be at DynastyRankings.com. Of course, go over there, sign up, put your email in, join the party before it launches. And we will see you guys next week with probably a lot more week two conversation, but also some very valuable nuggets to help you guys dominate in your dynasty leagues. We'll see you then.